someone else's journey is our lesson.
We used to say, the difficult we do immediately, the impossible just takes a little more time.
Someone else's lesson is our gift.
I believe part of our responsibility is really to equip and inspire our students to ask those difficult questions.
Be encouraged by the stories that lift us all.
I came to Howard because I wanted to be the President of the United States.
Somebody saw something in me, and it's my duty to be that person for somebody else.
Now, join Dr. Wayne Frederick, President of Howard University, and his guest on The Journey.
For decades in corporate America, he's insisted on mentoring, blazing trails, and championing workforce diversity. Named one of America's 100 most influential lawyers, he has used his platform and his passion to serve communities in the shadows. Hello, I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick, and my guest today is one whose educational and legal roots are at Howard University, a true son of Howard, Chairman of our Board of Trustees, Attorney Stacey Mobley. Welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Frederick.
So you were born and raised in Chester, Pennsylvania.
That's correct.
So tell our listeners a little bit about what that was like.
Growing up in Chester, even though I had no siblings, there were always people around. And a number of folks in the neighborhood that I grew up in were always available to look after me, that sort of thing. Chester is a small town just south of Philadelphia. At one point, it was a large industrial town. A lot of manufacturing. In fact, after the war, a lot of people migrated there for the jobs, as is in most Rust Belt cities. The manufacturing base deteriorated, and Chester was looking for some other opportunities to gain employment or to produce employment. And I would say now it's a shadow of itself.
And what was the educational environment like as you were growing up? How was school emphasized, and were the schools segregated or integrated by the time you were attending?
Well, they were integrated, but practically they were segregated in that the grade schools and middle schools that were in the black community were all black, and those in the white community were all white. And we had one high school, Chester High School, that was that accepted students from all the middle schools. So it's Chester High was the one place where it really totally was integrated.
And why Howard University? What attracted you to Howard University and ultimately to pharmacy?
Well, let me deal with why pharmacy first. In Chester, there was an independent drugstore, one of the larger ones. You know, that was before the onslaught with CVS and the chains. But it was a large pharmacy that was owned by a guy, everybody called him Doc Mudrick. And this businessman, this pharmacist, was very much in the community. And around Thanksgiving time, he would donate turkeys around Christmas time. Really was involved in the community. And I really admired that. And because of that, I was attracted to the practice of pharmacy. And I did a little reading and found out that it was a profession I wanted to pursue. So I went about deciding what schools I should apply to. And the obvious one was a local one, Philadelphia College of Pharmacy and Science. Now they call it Philadelphia, I think, College of Science. But it was in Philadelphia. Excellent reputation. If I had gone to that school, I'd have to stay home. So that was, scratch that off. Then it was Columbia in New York, which was attractive, but it was the appeal there was not great. And then I researched more about Howard University, and that was it. I had never seen the campus. I basically looked at the handbook and all the materials and read about it and said, this is the place that I want to go.
Wow. And yeah. When you got here, what about it made you fall in love with it, as has been demonstrated by your long association with the university?
Well, it started with, frankly, out of pure terror. Now, I said it's my love of Howard started out of terror, because when I showed up and went to a gathering at Crampton Auditorium, I believe it was Dean Carey was there, and he basically asked folks to raise their hand that were first and second in their class. And I looked around and I said, oh, God, I am so far out of my league here. I don't know what I'm going to do. But I just knuckled down and basically I just came to love the place. We were in pharmacy school. We were in the valley, so we didn't get up on campus much. We had a lot of labs, so I didn't get out of school till 5 o'clock in the evening. But it didn't take long for me really just to love the place. The people, the other students, the camaraderie, everything about Howard University just made an impact on me.
And you ultimately went to law school here. Why law after getting a pharmacy degree?
Well, pharmacy at that time was a 5-year curriculum. And in my fourth year, we had a course called business law. And it was just a one-semester course. But I found it so intriguing that I said, well, let me just do some research about law school. And I spent some time walking around the place, looking, talking to people. And I said, this is what I'm going to do. So I applied. I graduated, I think, like in May or June. And I started law school in September.
Oh, excellent. Now, Howard's Law School obviously has a rich history around civil rights, but you had a unique experience in seeing the business side of pharmacy and then ultimately the manner in which you practice law had a big influence in terms of, from a corporate point of view. What about the experience in law school you think prepared you for the role that you played eventually in your career?
Well, in Howard Law School, there were some absolute legal giants, just total legal giants that really were social engineers, as we were trained. And not just in limited civil rights, but in all things, but always with a consciousness about fairness and equity and diversity. That was really in our DNA. The law school basically gave me, just with the caring faculty, and these were people that were world-renowned, and interaction with students there, I felt I was prepared to function in any place. Now, what I did was my objective was to marry my degree in pharmacy and law, and it was to basically seek a position in-house, working for a chemical or pharmaceutical firm. But I got somewhat distracted my last year because of just the social nature of and how we were ingrained to give back. So I took a fellowship, Original Hebrew Lawyer Community Lawyer Fellowship, and went back to Chester and worked as a storefront lawyer for a year.
Wow. You're listening to The Journey. My guest today is Stacy Mobley. He's the chairman of the Board of Trustees here at Howard University. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. So after that experience at Chester, what did you embark on next from that experience?
Well, when my year's fellowship was up, my wife was doing her training in Jefferson Medical School in Philadelphia. So we were locked into that area. So I had done some research and narrowed it down to two companies that I would be interested in exploring. One was Smith Kline and French, which is now GlaxoSmithKline in Philadelphia. The other one was DuPont that was in Wilmington.
Now, you spent your entire career at DuPont.
Absolutely.
The environment today, when you look at the generation that's coming out of law school, is highly unlikely that people would do that.
Absolutely, yeah.
But what about DuPont and the culture kept you there your entire career? Yeah.
It was, and that is absolutely right, it was a culture that was consistent with my values, and it was one in which I started working there with certain expectations around diversity. We talked openly around it. I was allowed to do some things and modify some programs and recruit some folks. And I was working with people that I respected, and it meant a lot to me.
Now, obviously, you are chair at Howard University's board. You've been on the board for several years. What first attracted you to the board, and what is your view of the future of the university?
Well, I was attracted to the board in an interesting way. I really had no intentions of serving on the board. I fully was obligated to financially support it, but I was recruited by the president at that time, President Swigert, when he said to me, "Well, your alma mater was here when you needed her. She needs you now." And I said, "That's below the belt." At that point, I said, "You're right." And 15 years later, I'm here, and you know, it's in my view, there is nothing that's more important or rewarding than sitting on one's on the board of one's alma mater.
And now, in terms of the university, one of the issues that certainly is a critical issue today is shared governance.
Right.
What's your viewpoint about shared governance and the role of overseeing the university in conjunction with the faculty?
I think, you know, there's a lot written about shared governance, but implicit in the reference to shared governance is shared accountability and shared responsibility. And unless those two elements are there, there is really not a fulsome shared governance. I agree that other constituencies on a campus really should be partners in planning and operating the university. But as I said, implicit in that, there is responsibility that goes with that and accountability that goes with that. And I think without those two being present, it doesn't work.
In your time as a student at Howard, you saw and potentially, I say potentially because I wasn't there, but participated in protests. And obviously, we've had a protest of a significant magnitude on campus. What is your viewpoint about that activism that is part of the DNA of Howard and must continue to be preserved on our campus?
I think it is... you know, there's student activism in a lot of college and universities. I think we have our own brand here. I think it should be encouraged, but I think it really should be viewed as demonstrations and as a means to an end, not an end in of itself. And the ones that I've participated in, I think back in the day, as they say, it was for a purpose in terms of getting student representation in the board of directors and follow through with that. And I think the result of that made the university, I think, a better university.
You said you've spent 15 years on the board, so you've certainly seen the university go through various changes and transformations. Mm-hmm. What is probably the most impressive thing that you've seen change over the time mm-hmm. that you've been engaged at the board of trustees level?
I think the board involvement and dedication and their seriousness about their position, I think to a person now, you have dedicated board folks that use their time and their treasure and are committed to the future and of Howard University and the students therein. And I think they are totally unselfish by their contributions, and we have some very busy people on the board, but I think we have a well-oiled machine. We have individuals that are committed, and I might say that the commitment extends not just to Howard alums, but folks that really didn't go to Howard but recognize the gem that Howard University is.
Absolutely. Thanks for being here. My guest today has been Stacey Mobley, Chairman of the Board of Trustees here at Howard University. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Please join me next time on The Journey.
You've been listening to The Journey with Dr. Wayne Frederick on the Howard University Radio Network.
This is Harold Fisher, The Daily Drum is more than news, sports, and weather. It's information, conversation, edification. I talk to the newsmakers and other great guests that make you think. You're not just listening. You are part of the process with your phone calls. You can find me on Facebook/Harold T. Fisher or follow me on Twitter at HFisherWHUR. Join me, Harold Fisher, from 7 to 7:30 p.m. for The Daily Drum on 96.3 WHUR, The Adult Mix.